Morning, everyone. I guess you're all ready for Christmas. Got your Christmas lights up? Written all your Christmas cards? Bought all your food? You know, men and women tend to approach Christmas differently. I heard about one woman who was waiting to pay in a queue in a shopping mall. And as the sales assistant rang up the items, the woman was rummaging through her bag, looking for her purse, when she pulled out a TV remote control. And the shop assistant said, "Madam, do you always carry your TV remote control with you when you come to the mall?" "No," the woman explained, "but my husband just refuses to come Christmas shopping with me, so I reckon this is the most evil way to pay him back." So, whether you're fully into all the Christmas shopping or catching the latest amazing dance from the surprisingly supple Debbie McGee on Strictly, these are the everyday sights and sounds of Christmas 2017. But you know, one of the great things about the Christmas story, and Paul's just read it to us from Luke's account this morning, is just how ordinary, how everyday, how surprising the people around that first Christmas really were. And that's my first point to you this morning as we look at this reading. The forever gift of Christmas is for everyone. Is for everyone. You see, God was very intentional about that. He was so intentional that when he announced the birth of Jesus through the angel in our reading, verse 10, he said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for who? For all the people." All the people. God was making it unmistakably clear at the very first Christmas that this forever gift, Christmas, is for all the people, everyone. That Christmas is for you and me, for young and old, whatever we are. If we're a human being, it's for us. And we see that in the very first Christmas. You see, we see that Christmas is for those who are in the middle of things in life. You see that in the parents that God chose to raise his son in this world, Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary were about as working class, blue collar as you can get. They were from this way out yonder community called Nazareth. People used to say, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" The people were carpenters and farmers and fishermen. They were country people. Not country club people, country people. Yet God touched the womb of the Virgin Mary and impregnated her by the Holy Spirit so that this child inside of her was fully God and fully human. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, that woman you're engaged to hasn't been unfaithful. She's not been running around with other men. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. You're going to have a son, and you're to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." Can you imagine being Jesus' parents? I wonder if you've ever stopped to think about that. Changing God's nappies. Can you imagine being his dad and giving the creator of the universe carpentry tips? "Now remember, Jesus, son, measure twice, cut once." "Yes, Dad." Can you imagine looking across the table and thinking, "That is God eating my shepherd's pie"? Christmas is for people in the middle, just like Joseph and Mary, everyday, average people. Christmas is also for people who are stuck at the bottom. And in our reading, most of the action takes place in a field with the shepherds. And shepherds were considered to be the bottom of the bottom of that day. And today you'd probably liken it to somebody who makes their living collecting scrap cans and a shopping trolley. Shepherds ate with the animals. Shepherds slept with the animals. Shepherds smelt like the animals. And yet God chose to make the announcement of the birth of his only son to the shepherds first. A huge choir of angels showed up. It says in our reading, verse 13, a great company of the heavenly host, and in Dolby surround sound, well, it doesn't say that in the Bible, but you know what I mean. They started singing glory to God in the highest. And when it says there was this great number of heavenly host, it literally means there was an uncountable number of angels there. Some Bible scholars believe that every angel that had ever been created showed up at that moment, on that night, on that hillside. They all showed up, all the angels, just for the shepherds. The bottom of the bottom. Could God have made a more clear statement than that? Could God have showed up to the powerful? Yes, he could have done. He could have showed up to royalty. Yes, he could have done. He could have showed up to the wealthy. He could have announced it on ancient Twitter, you know, hashtag a saviour has been born. But he announced it to the shepherds. Because the birth of Jesus is forever good news for those who are at the bottom. But Christmas isn't just for those in the middle. And Christmas isn't just for those at the bottom. It's also for those at the top. It's for those who were born with a silver spoon in their mouths. Who else came to see this newborn Jesus? Wise men from the east came later, bearing gifts to Jesus. And how do we know they were wealthy? Well, look at the gifts that they brought. Gold, a gift for a king. Frankincense, something the high priest would use as incense in worship, in trying to connect with God. Myrrh, which was a burial spice, which was used for the dead. Think of how those wise men nailed the gift-giving thing. They brought gold for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, frankincense to Jesus, who would be the high priest, who would open up the way to God for us. And they brought myrrh to signify that this little baby, born in a manger, would grow up to die for all the people. God was unmistakably and graphically and vividly announcing that the birth of Jesus Christ is for everyone. Christmas is for all the people, for all time, forever. For those in the middle, like Joseph and Mary, for those at the bottom, like the shepherds, for those at the top, like the wise men, for young and for old, for those who are single and wishing they were married, and those who are married and wishing they were single. For those who've they got their PhD, for those who are struggling to get their GCSEs, Christmas is for all the people, and Christmas is for everyone. And my second point is this: what does this gift of Christmas mean, this forever gift? I want to show you a clip from YouTube, which I think you'll appreciate. Here it comes. No, well, this little girl is pretty disappointed because she's opened the present and she's found a T-shirt, and all she's saying is, I want a toy. I want a toy. I want a toy. And her mother is saying, yes, but this is a really nice gift, little girl, and you've been given it, and aren't you pleased? Anybody been there before, done that? Yeah, on Christmas Day, I feel your pain. Now, as adults, we get disappointed with gifts too, don't we? But we are just better at disguising it. Maybe you've heavily signalled to your husband, ladies, what you would like for Christmas. You've told him, these are the boots that I want. This is the size that they should be. But he wants to think outside of the shoebox and he wants to get creative. And so when you open your gift on Christmas Day, it's a voucher for a year's subscription to Weight Watchers. It's the worst possible thing he could ever give you. Or maybe you're the husband and you want the new iPhone 7. You get the box and it's the right size and it's the right weight. You open it and it's nose hair clippers. When Jesus was born, he didn't look like much of a gift, did he? A baby in a stable in a feeding trough. Little baby among the animals in a stable. But the Bible makes this amazing claim about this baby who'd been born for all the people. And if you can grasp this truth, it will change everything in your life about your past, about your present, and about your future. This is from Matthew's version of the birth of Jesus, and this is so powerful. He talks about the Virgin Mary, and he says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means, as Paul reminded us this morning, God with us. This baby, born for all the people, he's God with us. God is, God was, and God will be with me. And that is the forever gift at Christmas. I wonder if you've ever prayed a prayer where you've said, "Lord, be with me," or "God, be with us." What made Mary ponder all these things in her heart that first Christmas? What made the shepherds return to their fields rejoicing? Why did the wise men come and fall on their knees in adoration and worship? Because of this one truth, this fact alone, God is not distant. God is not far off. God is not uninvolved. God is, God was, and God will be with us. He is Emmanuel. But the problem is many of us don't believe that. And the reality is that as we approach Christmas 2017, many would say the picture of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in the manger, it's a cute picture and it's part of the decor of Christmas. And it's a lovely story, but I just don't sense God with me. The wrappings of Christmas look great. But the actual gift, this baby, not really. Not really what I wanted. Maybe you've graduated from university this year with excitement, but the job market being what it is, you haven't been able to find a job now. And you've moved back home with your parents, and it's not what they want, and it's certainly not what you want. Maybe this year you buried someone you love very much. And there's going to be an empty chair at your Christmas celebration, and you're going to miss their laughter and their love and their warmth and their touch. Maybe you love romance literature, and so when you got married, you thought marriage was going to be happily ever after. And now you deal with disillusionment and disappointment. Maybe Christmas is a tense time because it means dealing with family members when there are unresolved tensions that are going on. Or dealing with an ex-spouse where there are shared custody issues over children. Look at what Mary discovered in Luke 1, verse 28. It says, "An angel, Gabriel, appears to this teenage virgin. Gabriel said, 'Greetings,'" very polite angel, "'greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is what? He's with you. The Lord is with you." And when I look back at my own life, I'm astounded and I'm moved in many ways that God has been with me through the ups and the downs, through the valleys, through the mountains. God has been with me every step of the way. Put another way, the story of Christmas is the story of Joseph going home. Verse 4 of our reading says, "Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David." And, you know, Christmas is all about going home. We don't know much about Joseph's home. We don't know that he had a property back there. If he'd been there recently, did he have family there? All we know is that it was a little town called Bethlehem. But it's interesting because in Hebrew, Bethlehem means the house of bread. It's the house of bread. And one would be born there who would say one day, "I am the bread of life." If you're hungry to the core of your soul, come to me. Home is a place where you're supposed to belong. Home is a place where you're supposed to be safe. Home is a place where love is supposed to prevail. But we live in a world that isn't safe, and where everybody feels excluded, and where love doesn't prevail. And it turns out that our longing for home, our homesickness, is something that this world can't satisfy. And you and I and everybody was made for a deeper home. And Jesus came to talk about this, and he said, "I'll not leave you as orphans. Whoever loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them." And then this amazing promise, "And we will make our home in them." You were meant, amazingly enough, to be the place God calls home. God wants for you to be home in him. And God wants to be home in you. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. And this invitation stands for the human race. And Jesus put it like this one time. He said, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come and eat with that person and they with me." And he would tell stories about the human race invited to come home. He would talk about a prodigal son who made terrible choices. Maybe you have. He wounds his father. He wastes his money. And then he wakes up in enormous pain and he says to himself, "I have to go home. I don't know if I'll be welcome there, but it will be better than this." And what he doesn't know is that his father is waiting for him with outstretched arms and running legs. The heart of the Father, Jesus said, this is the heart of God for you. Whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, just come home. I just want you to come home. Friends, we have a God who is with us. He is Emmanuel. And this God, he's with you. He wants to bring you home. That's the forever gift of Christmas. And my third point this morning is that the giver of the forever gift at Christmas values us incredibly highly. Jesus made this statement in Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And just in that statement, Jesus is communicating the value of all people. When he says they're lost, why? Because only things of value get lost, don't they? You don't say, "My piece of chewing gum is lost," do you? You don't say, "My Christmas card is lost." You misplace your chewing gum. You misplace Christmas cards. You misplace a pair of socks. But you'll say, "My wallet is lost. My diamond ring is lost. My child is lost." You lose a diamond ring, you search for it, don't you? You lose your purse, you search for it. You lose your child in the Christmas crush in West Quay, you might wait a little while, but eventually you'll search for that little one. And Jesus is saying, "I came to seek and to save you lost people." That's how valuable you are to me. And at Christmas, Jesus was saying, "You're lost, and you're important enough to God that he searches for you. And everyone needs to know that there is a real God who offers real life and that they matter to him." And maybe you're struggling with all sorts of mistakes that you've made in your life. Mistakes in your marriage, mistakes in your sexuality, mistakes in your finances, mistakes in your parenting. Maybe you've made mistakes in substance abuse or drinking. Maybe you wish that you could go back and do some things differently because the guilt is overwhelming. Friends, this is why the angel said to the shepherds, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. A Saviour has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord." And before Jesus was born, The father of John the Baptist said in Luke 1, verse 77, Jesus will give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of that, we can rest in the promise of Romans 8. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The Bible says God buries our sin in the deepest sea and he remembers them no more. He not only forgives our sin, he forgets our sin. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's the gift that lasts forever. And you say, yeah, but you don't know what I did. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, but I cheated, I lied, I had an affair, I embezzled, I took something that didn't belong to me. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Only Jesus can answer your prayers. Only Jesus died on the cross for you. Only Jesus can forgive your sin. Only Jesus was resurrected from the grave. Only Jesus can give your life purpose. Only Jesus can give hope for our world beyond our death. Only Jesus can make his home in my heart. Only Jesus was born in a manger, died on a cross, and was resurrected. And today, 2,000 years on the other side of the world, he's still changing lives. Only Jesus does that. He's the forever gift that looks past the present, guarantees the future, at home with him in eternity. And then finally, a last thought for those of us who've already received the gift of Christmas. Did you hear about the guy who was in his 80s and he hadn't been able to hear a thing for about 20 years? He'd lost his hearing completely. And he went to the doctor one day, and the doctor had these aids that he was convinced that if he fitted them into this chap's ears, he could do something with the technology, and that finally, after 20 years, he would be able to hear. And an amazing thing happened. After 20 years of not being able to hear, this old chap could hear everything perfectly. He went home that day all excited, and for the next 2 weeks he heard every word, he heard every conversation, he heard every sound. He returned to the doctor's surgery 2 weeks later. The doctor asked him how things were going. The guy said, "It's amazing. I've heard everything for the last 2 weeks, every word, every conversation." The doctor said, "Your family must be absolutely thrilled." He said, "Oh, I haven't told them yet." He said, "I've changed my will 4 times in the last week." Friends, many people have experienced receiving the greatest gift of Jesus Christ. He sought you, he saved you, he's the God who is, who was, and who will be with you. But it's been a long time since you told anybody. You've kept it to yourself. Did you know that people are more open to your invitation at Christmas than at any other time during the year? Look at our reading, Luke 2, verse 17. When they, the shepherds, had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You know, these are shepherds. There are all sorts of reasons why these shepherds shouldn't do this. "You're not even educated." "I know, but Jesus." "You can't even testify in a court of law." "I know, but Jesus." "There's no reason why we should listen to a bunch of dirty, thieving..." "Yeah, I know, but Jesus." When they spread the word, all who heard it were amazed. And now today, friends, it's not the shepherds. It's 2017. It's us. We're the ones. It's you and me. And I'm asking you because this is part of the mission of our church, isn't it? And we share it with every other church in the land. But this is our day. This is where we live. Will you spread the word? Will you be a life changer? You know, there's somebody in your life that God wants to reach through you. I'm convinced of that. And there is a why. And that why is every human being is made for eternity. And we face this prospect of heaven or hell. And I know these words can be talked about sometimes in churches in ways that can be manipulative. I know, but the fact remains. The Bible says God has placed eternity in the hearts of every man and of every woman. And death is not the end. And every human being is going to face death. And in eternity of joy together with God, or of unbelievable pain because it means they've been excluded from the presence of God. Nobody is so rich, nobody is so educated, nobody is so beautiful, nobody is so healthy, nobody is so successful or has climbed the ladder so high that they don't need to bow the knee to the Saviour of the world. Jesus is still changing lives, and we get to be a part of that. And that's my question. Will you be a life changer this Christmas? Will you ask God to help you to be really bold with people known to you? If my heart's been a little cold or hard about this, Lord, would you make it warm and tender? Would you help me when I'm with people to think about, can I plant a little seed with this person? Can I take a little risk with this person? Could I be a little bolder with this person? We've got invites for our Christmas services at the back. Take some. Take a risk to bring friends along to our Christmas services. Why? Because Christmas is for everyone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just want to ask for me and for everybody who are followers of Jesus, would you help us remember again to be undone and overwhelmed with the matchless person of Jesus and the life-changing offer of his gospel that leads us from death to life, the forever Christmas gift. Father, we pray right now for those people in our lives, and for some of us, Lord, that name, that face is coming up right now in front of us, really quickly, that son or daughter, that brother or sister, that person at work. Maybe that person who we know and love. Would you be at work in them? Would you be at work all over the world in this Christmas season? We pray for our church, for every follower of Jesus. Could what happened once through the shepherds happen through every one of us? Could we just be lit up inside by your Spirit? Help us to spread the word, so that many, many people will find Jesus as their Saviour and come home. We pray it in the name of Jesus. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen.